we come before the Lord this morning, there's a couple of our folks that, a couple of people that really probably need some prayer today. I didn't even get to tell Jenny on the way home or the way in this morning, but Larry's a good friend of mine. His name's Larry Thomas, and I've spoke of him a couple times. Larry and I worked together in the car business way back when. One of his grandsons, 7 years old, was killed in an accident yesterday. And it's Laura's, his daughter's son. Anyway, the two sons had taken him back to the house, to Laura and her husband's house, and I guess the kids were back behind the barn playing, and they were playing in a sand pit, and the sand pit caved in on them, and the youngest one was trying to pull out the seven-year-old, and by the time that he went to get his daddy, and his daddy was able to get back, the seven-year-old had suffocated. So, well, keep Larry and his family in prayer as they go through this time. It's always tough to lose somebody, but to lose a loved one is very, very tough, a young child particularly. And Kim Swice is having some additional surgery on Tuesday. I know she would appreciate our prayers as well. But just keep these folks lifted up. Fortunately, we have a God who is God of all power, a God of comfort, and a God who loves us. And you know what? He can cut through all of that type of stuff. Amen? And when we have him as a peace, we can go to him anytime. So let's do go to him this morning. Lifting those, but at the same time, maybe some, do any of y'all have, you know, prayer requests that you need to take before the Lord this morning? Mary?
Oh, okay.
Okay. We'll keep him in prayer. Anybody else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do come before you. I thank you so much that you love us so, so much. Thank you so much that you are truly the God of power, who has all power, who has all authority, that you are the God who comforts, that you are the God who heals. And so, Lord, I just want to lift up these that we've mentioned this morning. I know there are probably others. But as we come before you and we do lift these up this morning, Father, I just pray that in their lives, I just pray for that touch that only you can give. Bring about healing, to take away the hurt, to take away the grieving. So I just lift these up, Father. And Father, as we do come before you this morning, as we continue our worship, I pray, Father, that through the Word, that you be honored and glorified. And that through the Word, that each one of us, Father, will draw closer to you. And Lord, there may be one in here this morning. I don't know the hearts. Only you do. But Father, if there be one in here in this auditorium this morning, one who was in our first service, or one who hears on the internet, I would pray, Father, that today would be the day that they would come before you, repenting of their sin, accepting your forgiveness, and accepting your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior and Lord. I would just lift this up to you, Father. You're the only one who can work that, but I lift this up to you. We all do, Father. As we go forward in our service, Father, may you continue to lead it, and may your name be lifted high among all. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Passage again that we're going to be looking at, John chapter 4. And we're going to be, this is part three of the series of the woman on the well and those teaching things that we can learn from her encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we do look at this, we're going to look at verses 13 down through 15 this morning. And Jesus answered, starting in verse 13, and he said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Y'all remember, you know, what had been going on up before, all the way up to this time. Amen? Jesus had come, went through this country called Samaria, and he's a good Jew, and he really probably shouldn't have gone that direction, but it was the shortest way between where he was heading and off to Galilee where he wanted to go. And so guess, he went through Samaria. I think it was a God appointment. I think he knew that there was someone there who needed to hear of how to be saved. Amen. And so he's sitting on this well, by this well, and this woman comes up to him at noontime. And she came up at that time because she had a few issues in her life. And really, they just didn't like her too much in town. She was kind of an outcast. So she comes up there expecting, nobody's going to be around, right? And who's there? Jesus. And Jesus doesn't get up and dash off like, oh, I can't talk to this one, Samaritan, and a woman. Oh, double trouble. No, he stays there. And what does he do? He starts conversation. In fact, he starts it with saying, woman, would you give me a drink? And that got it going, didn't it? So as this conversation progressed, down here in verse 13, it says, everyone who drinks this water, and he's talking about the H2O water that's going to be coming out of the well, everyone who drinks this water is going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. I think she was starting to get it. And then she quickly went back and, oh, so that I won't get thirsty and I won't have to come here to keep drawing water. You know, amazing. You know, I really think she was starting to see that, oh, there's something here. But our minds and who we are automatically take us to the physical, don't they? Amen? This thing on water is kind of important. You know, Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water, again referring to the physical water, the H2O, is going to get thirsty again. It's plain and simple. But what he's talking about is he's saying that, yeah, you need the physical water. That's true. But there's something more that you really need. And you need the living water. You need the real water, if you will. The genuine water that only I can give. See, Jesus knew that she needed the physical water. Gosh, he made us. You know, and because he made us, he knew that we need water. So he knew that this woman had come there to draw water. And H2O is very important in our lives. Every plant, every living creature on the face of this earth must have water. Amen? I mean, that's the way it is. Without it, every one of us, human beings alike, we will die, wither. We will die. We'll look like some of those dried out plant things that we put on our tables as decorations. I mean, we will dry out. Amen? In fact, the Mayo Clinic said in one of their articles, they said that for a healthy man to survive in temperate climates, he's got to have at least 3 liters of water a day. Now, that's a lot of water. Now, one of the old things that most of us have heard is 8x8, right? 8 glasses of 8 ounces. That's 64 ounces. Guess what? It's not quite 3 liters, but it's like 1.3, 1.4 liters. Okay, and they say that'll keep us going. The U.S. Forestry Department issued a survival guide for people that are going out in the wilderness and stuff, and they said that, lo and behold, there's several things that are going to get you in trouble, and one of them is if you don't have enough air, you're going to die real quick, like within 3 minutes. But if you don't eat, if you don't have food, you'll last about 3 weeks. But you can only last about 3 days without water. And that's really pretty close. 3 days, and after that, it gets pretty dicey as to whether or not they're going to be able to get you back. You know, we can go a little bit longer, but whether or not that the medics are going to be able to do their magic, it kind of gets a little dicey. So this liquid H2O thing is kind of important in our lives. We need it. But Jesus is talking about something a lot more important than just physical survival. He wants to deal with what I'm going to call the heart issue. He wants to deal with the really important issue. We got to have the physical thing, obviously, but we need something else. We need the eternal thing. And he's going to talk about the eternal life. So in verse 14, Jesus goes on and he says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst." Will never thirst, because that water is going to become in him. In other words, once we take in the living water of Jesus Christ, and you know how we do that? It's very easy, isn't it? God made it real simple. He said, really, all you got to do is trust me and invite me coming in your life. It's that simple. Bang. And it's over with. It's not hard. But once he does that, we get the living water in us. Amen? Not out there. It's in here. And we've got to have that. And Jesus said that what happens is when we get the living water, when the water that he says he gives in us, then it springs forth up to eternal life. It has to be in here. All the living water, I mean, Jesus walking around, that's great. But you and I need him, amen? And he knew this Samaritan woman needed him. And so he's letting her know that, hey, look, you need the living water that I've got, and you need to take it in. And it'll well up in you to eternal life. You know, we want that eternal life, amen? So here, I think that's one of the reasons why all people sort of have a craving for God, whether they want to admit it or not. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth does, in fact, have this craving for God. Amen. Sometimes they just don't know that's what they're craving. We were all made that way. Jesus, I mean, God designed us that way. We got that God spot, if you will, and it takes God to fill it. That's the only one that works. So unfortunately, though, what do we do as humans? We try to fill it with everything else before we ever try to fill it with God. Let me stuff some other things in. Let me put a substitute in. Maybe this will be almost as good as, and it'll take care of the hurt. It'll take care of the pain that's caused by my sin. It'll take care of the pain maybe that somebody else caused that hurt my feelings or whatever. In other words, maybe whatever I can do, I can deal with this, and I can, you know, make that inward spot stop hurting. So we look for the imitation. Amen? We too often look for the imitation to try to make us feel better. I think that's one of the reasons why people do in fact turn to and they start drinking from what I'm going to call the water of the world. Because there's basically three types of water. You got the real water, you got the H2O, the physical water. You got the water of the world, all the stuff that we try to use to substitute for the living water, and we've got the living water itself. So we really got three kinds of water floating around out there. Amen. Again, you got real water, water of the world, which is the imitation stuff, and you've got the Jesus water, the living water. And see, this is when we start doing that, we just keep on hurting. We keep hurting. We keep thirsting as we try to put the imitation in there. It just doesn't work. It's one of the reasons why the drug addict has got to go have another fix. They got to try to fix that hole, put some more stuff in there. It's why the alcoholic goes and keeps on having another drink. It's why the person who's got a, you know, goes out and tries to bury the pain and bury the hurt, and they'll go out and, you know, buy some weed to smoke or whatever. It's why the person who's got sex problems, you know, goes out on the street, looks for a hooker, whether it's a male or a female, doesn't matter. It's why there's never any peace. It's why, you know, they're sitting there and they struggle with all of this stuff and they can't figure out what in the world's going on, and they try everything. They try all the imitations. In fact, some people even try turning to religion. I mean, there's a bunch of religion out there, amen? Some people will turn to Catholicism. They will turn to Protestantism. They will turn to Buddhism. They will turn to Mohammedism. They will turn to Baptist-isms. That's religion. But really what they need and what they're searching for is what? Jesus, the real relationship. Religion isn't a relationship, is it? But Jesus is. The relationship has to be with Jesus. Not with the church. It's with Jesus. So that's why, you know, when people turn to, oftentimes they'll turn to religion, then they end up finding out, gosh, that doesn't work. There's something wrong because they missed it. They need Jesus. Jesus is the one. I'm constantly reminded of, you know, every time I think about that, I'm constantly reminded, you remember we went through the Not a Fan series. You know, all of us remember that? Remember when Kyle Idleman was talking about, you know, one of the families came up to him as they had a daughter that had really gone bad. And I guess, I don't know what all she had done, but she basically had left the church. And what was it? Anybody remember what was it that she would, you know, the family told? They said they had raised her in church and not in Christ. You know, in church doesn't help us, does it? We need the in Christ, because that's really what we're missing. That's the thing. That's what we're, that craving that we have. And that's the only thing that the living water is going to solve. He's going to solve with the living water that in Christ thing that we all long for. They said that, you know, that family said that she was just a good girl. She grew up in church, but they forgot to really raise her up to teach her that she needed to grow up in Christ. Church will let you down, folks. Amen? Religion will let you down. People will let you down. But Jesus will never let you down. Never. He wants to have that relationship. Moving on. As you think about your life, don't you want to just be immersed in the living water? If you know Jesus Christ, don't you want to just be immersed in it? Amen? Don't you just want to be just taking it in, receiving the refreshing that only His water can give? Amen? It's in us. It's, He wants us to just enjoy it, to just relish in it, to grow in it, to lift, be lifted up in it. Wow. And Jesus said, that water that we have, the Christians got this. That water that we've got, He says, we will never thirst again. Why is it, though, that we sit there and try to sometimes go back and find other stuff? Amen? Amen? You know, in verse 15, the woman said, "Sir, give me this water. People want it. Give me this water so that I won't get thirsty again and I won't have to come here to draw water again." You know, she got the two of them a little bit confused there, the two types. And probably, I think, it's probably because nobody ever sat down and talked to her about spiritual things. Amen? They probably wouldn't talk to, you know, she was a Jew, Samaritan Jew. But you know what? They probably wouldn't talk to her, because they went, no, she's an adulteress. She's this. She's that. Amen? She had the social stigma. So, whoa, the church folk went, we're not going to talk to her. Amen? I think maybe the Samaritan church back then, maybe a little bit like the American church today. Maybe that's why they both end in "an." Samaritan, American, maybe? I don't know. Huh? But they didn't want to talk to her. And she needed to have somebody really talk to her about her spiritual condition. She needed to hear things about spiritual things. All she'd ever heard was temple stuff. Amen? I mean, she knew the thing. I mean, as we go on down a little bit later on, we find out that she talks the church lingo. But that's all. That's as far as it went. She was a good temple person, temple worshiper, church person. That's what we call them today. Nobody had ever taken the time, and it hadn't really gotten in. How many folks do you know that, and maybe you're sitting here this morning, maybe you're thirsting spiritually. I don't know. Even as Christians, we sometimes start thirsting spiritually for a reason. It's because we've gotten out of reading God's Word. If you know Jesus Christ, the only way to keep that water fresh in your life and bubbling like a fresh spring is to stay in His Word. We need to stay in His Word. Amen? We also need to, maybe you're thirsty because, you know, you've gotten a little thirsty because maybe you just don't talk to Jesus as much as you used to. If you want to stay, have that freshness in your walk, that freshness in your Christian life. Stay in the Word. Talk to Jesus. Amen? You know, and the other thing is, really, I mean, sometimes the thing that gets Christians today is they go, I just don't have time for worship. I don't have time for church folk and all this stuff and the fellowshipping with other believers. You know, the Bible says that we're not to forsake the fellowshipping together. And there's a reason. The reason is God made us this way. We're people who need to be able to worship together. Amen. There's something special that happens. Amen? Amen? When we worship together, I get lucky. I'm lucky, okay? I really am. I get to worship two times on a Sunday morning, not counting my own. At least two. I'm lucky. But, you know, there's something about it, of being together with brothers and sisters who are singing unto the Lord, who are praying together, who are worshiping together, who are listening to the message together, and just say, God, raise me up. I want to walk a little bit closer with you. I want to go out that door and I want to show somebody Jesus today. This next week, I just want you to use me, Lord, however you want to. There's just something about that lights my fire. I think it probably lights all of our fires, doesn't it? I mean, it's good stuff. And the Bible says that Jesus has chosen you and me to be part of his plan of redemption. And that's why Jesus said that we're salt and the light. Amen. We went through that study a while back. But we who already know Jesus, need to be willing to talk to those folks who are like the Samaritan woman, who don't know him. But maybe you're open, maybe you're listening, that God has ordained and God has set forth that time to where we're going to be able to cross paths with him and be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? But church, listen, I'm talking to the folks that know Jesus, really. I think we now need to understand that there's an urgency. There is an urgency where we need to take seriously about telling folks about Jesus and showing Jesus Christ in our lives. We cannot afford the luxury of saying, well, it'll happen tomorrow. Later on, somebody else, or maybe later on that person, I'll run across them again. We can't keep putting off showing and telling folks about Jesus. Because I'm telling you what, the time is drawing near. It really is. I personally believe that we are in an hour where we have one of the greatest opportunities there is to share Jesus Christ in very, very exciting ways. But at the same time, I'm telling you folks, we cannot sit around saying, that's coming later. I don't have to worry about that. I really don't. You know, that's going to come 30 or 40 years from now. Because I don't think it's going to wait. I don't think the Lord's waiting that long. Amen? You know, we're going to be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. That day when he's going to say, hey, dude, let's look at your life. Let's look and see how you did. Amen? I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. I think every one of us do. But Jesus said, hey, folks, wake up. The time's coming. It's getting closer. If you don't think so, read Matthew 24. It's like, you know, if you read Matthew 24, you find out that lo and behold, the fig tree's blooming. You know what that means? The season's there. Amen? Amen. And I think he wants us to be ready. And he wants us to be doing his work while we're here. Because the time is getting close. It's getting close to be at hand. And you know, all we got to do is look around. All we got to do is open our eyes. Amen? Hello? All we got to do is open our eyes. All you got to do is look out there. See what's happening over in Israel. See what's happening here in the United States of America. See what's happening all over this world. See what's happening out in the Middle East. Take a look. Open up. The time's getting closer. I'm not telling you this to scare you. I'm telling you this so you can get happy and that you'll go out and you also tell somebody else about the hope that you got. Amen? Amen? The day is coming. And we're going to hear one of these days. It won't surprise me one bit. I mean, he could come right now. I wouldn't. You know, we maybe should have run that video. But he could have come right now. He could. And we're going to hear the trumpet sound. And we're going to be caught up in the air with him. The Bible says that the dead are going to rise first. Amen? And they're going to meet him in the air. And then we who are alive are going to be caught up in the clouds with him. That day is coming, folks. It's coming. And church, every one of us needs to be ready ourselves. I mean, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to know him. Because there's not going to be a, oh, gee, I didn't know. Can I do it now? It's too late then. We need to know him now. Because he is coming back. But only you and only God know your heart. Now, I think I know most of you. And I think with probably a 99.99% certainty, I could tell that most of you are going to be right along with me when the trumpet sounds. You're going to be there before the master. You're going to say, I'm there. Praise God. We're going to be lifting up hands and praising him. Amen. Bowing down before him. But you know what? There's some folks that won't be. And I'm telling you right now, only you and only God know for sure if you're okay, if you're going to make that trip, or you're going to be left behind. One of the two. Only you and God. Today's the day, to, you know, today is really the day to do it. Today's the day to say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I need you in my life. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, and I want to start walking with you. And I want you to be my master. I want you to be the one who guides my steps, not me. Amen. You have to make that choice yourself, though. But folks, if you already know him, we need to be telling some other folks about him. Amen? We need to be letting them know about the mercy of the God who loves them so much that he came and he died on a cross for our sins. He wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And part of what he's doing is redeeming people. Amen? Amen? And there are so many people out here in this world who are just like that Samaritan woman, and they have the empty spot. They're looking for the real water. So many want to accept something, and they don't know what. Make sure your life shows them. Make sure you have an opportunity to tell them whenever they ask. Amen? Tell them how to receive Jesus. Tell them what he's done for you in your life. It's so simple. People need Jesus, folks. This lost, messed up world needs Jesus more than anything else. And all the Lord wants from you and me is to be available. He'll give you the opportunity. You don't even, usually don't have to go looking for it. It might be a kinfolk. It might be a friend. It might be a relative, co-worker. Might be a person at a gas station. Might be a person in a supermarket. I don't know. Just be open and say, yes, Lord, use me. Send me out there, Lord. I'll go and I'll show your son. Help me to do it. And you know what? He will. He'll give you all the power. He'll even give you the right words to say. He'll even help you. Might even be, he'll have you take one of those DVDs and hand it to somebody. Go, that's what I got that. I remember, hey, wait a minute. I got one of those. Ask him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. If you're here this morning, though, and you have not received the blessedness, the peace that only Jesus Christ gives, I'd ask this morning that as you're praying, ask God for the most precious gift of all. Ask him to forgive you. Accept the forgiveness. Tell him that you believe that his son is the only way, that his son truly is the one who saves. And ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart today. Father, I want to thank you so very much that we could be here this morning. And Lord, during this time of invitation, this time of response, as we as we're in an attitude of prayerfulness. Help each one of us, Father, to do the business that you want us to do. It may be, again, you're calling to that one who may be here this morning who does not know you, and you're inviting them to receive the gift of that living water through your Son, Jesus Christ. I would pray, Father, that today would be that day that would change their lives forever. It may be, Father, that you're reminding each one of us who already know you that there's somebody that you really want us to show your love to this week. You're putting a name in our mind right now. I would pray, Father, that you would give each one of us, give us the willingness and the obedient spirit to show your Son's love to that person, just like Jesus showed your love and his love to that Samaritan woman. Help each one of us, Father, to be a real picture of who you are. Help us to be your salt and that light that we're supposed to be. I just lift this up to you. As we continue in an attitude of prayerfulness with the praise team quietly playing in the background, if there is a decision that you need to make this morning, make it this morning with the Lord. If you need to come and use the altar to pray, come on up here. If you need to come and let me know of a decision that you just made, do so this morning. Maybe the Lord's putting somebody on your heart that you know needs Jesus Christ. Lift their names up this morning in a prayer and ask God to save them. Father God, we just want to thank you so much again for the power, for the love, for the mercy that you're showing to each one of us. Thank you for your tenderness. Thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who saves. Thank you for the living water that he's given to each one of us who's already accepted that precious gift. Thank you ever so much. I just lift this up and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.